Lesson 10, Culture 1. Part A, Listen, Write, and Speak.
Exercise 1. Listen to the tape and choose the best answer to each question you hear.
Leslie, why do most people go abroad?
It depends. For some, of course, it's business. For those who concentrate more on pleasure, it's just getting away from wherever they happen to be.
Uh-huh. Michael, do you travel a lot?
A reasonable amount. Obviously, one would like to travel all the time to see other countries and other places and other people, and to see the fascinating things that are so different from one country to another. There are enormous difficulties put in our ways of traveling by things like having passports to gain access from country to country, the difficulties of changing money from one currency to another currency, the difficulties of language, of course, are preeminent.
Maggie, do you think it's important that people travel?
Yes. I think it's very important. It broadens your mind, and by traveling abroad, you find that you can pick up their languages, and that you can communicate with other people, and it helps a lot to meet foreigners.
But young people often don't have the sort of money to get on a luxury cruise liner or a fast jet somewhere. How can young people travel reasonably economically?
Well, if you're a student, or if you're under 21, there are special concessions that the airlines have. Or you can get a special student flight, student trains to travel abroad, or quite a lot of young people on their first trip abroad travel by hitchhiking.
Mm-hmm.
It's a method which I've used myself, but I wouldn't advise it to anybody. It helps if you speak the language of the country that you're in. But it is one way of seeing different parts of the world and fairly cheaply.
Mm. Are there any big problems in travelling from country to country for the young person today?
Well, I think probably if you don't speak a language and you land in a town abroad and you haven't got friends in the place, then it probably is quite difficult. But so many places now are used to having young people as tourists that they help you in the streets. They help you to find places. But I think the language is the most important.
Alan, you've not only travelled widely, but you now live abroad. What problems are there for somebody who wants to go and live and work in a foreign country?
Work permits are usually a problem. In every country I've been in, they've been a problem. Residence visas are a problem. Getting people to understand what you want insofar as bureaucrats are concerned is a very great problem.
Mm-hmm.
However, the first time is the worst, and after that you begin to realize the way these people think and act. And in fact, they're not so troublesome as at first you think they are. In fact, they're trying to help you, but perhaps in a rather an obscure and oblique way.
What's the advantage of living in a country as opposed to just visiting it briefly?
Well, if you visit a country briefly, then you're really just a tourist. And if you're a tourist, you'll find that you'll be sidetracked into hotels, which will in fact just be like living at home.
Yeah.
You'll probably be fed English food, etc., and you'll be with your own people. If you actually live abroad, you'll find that you actually get into contact with the people and the language of the country where you're living, and you'll learn a new way of life, and you'll learn to understand a new way of life. And this should, but not always, give you an insight into your own way of life, the way of life you led in England. Well, whether this is a good thing or a bad thing, I can't tell you, but it's led me to be able to differentiate between cultures and ways of living. Yeah. I've lived in 2 countries myself, in 3 countries, in fact. At first, when I went to these countries, I thought, well, perhaps my way of living is better. Then, afterwards, I thought perhaps their way of living is better. Now, I just realize they're different.
Question number one. Why do some people travel abroad, according to Leslie? Question number two. What is Maggie's attitude towards hitchhiking? Question number three. What two big problems do young people have while traveling, according to Maggie? Question number four. What seems to be one of the advantages of living in a foreign country, according to Alan? Question number five. Which of the following can be learned from the conversation?
Exercise 2. You are going to hear some parts of the discussion again. Each part will be read twice. After each part, you will be asked a question. Listen carefully and write down your answer in the blank. Number 1.
There are enormous difficulties put in our ways of traveling by things like having passports to gain access from country to country. The difficulties of changing money from one currency to another currency. The difficulties of language, of course, are preeminent.
Now listen again.
There are enormous difficulties put in our ways of traveling by things like having passports to gain access from country to country. The difficulties of changing money from one currency to another currency. The difficulties of language, of course, are preeminent.
Question number one. What are the difficulties mentioned in this part?
Number two.
Yes. I think it's very important. It broadens your mind, and by traveling abroad, you find that you can pick up their languages, and that you can communicate with other people, and it helps a lot to meet foreigners.
Now, listen again.
Yes. I think it's very important. It broadens your mind, and by traveling abroad, you find that you can pick up their languages, and that you can communicate with other people, and it helps a lot to meet foreigners.
Question number two. What are the advantages of going abroad?
Number three.
Alan, you've not only traveled widely, but you now live abroad. What problems are there for somebody who wants to go and live and work in a foreign country?
Work permits are usually a problem. In every country I've been in, they've been a problem. Residence visas are a problem. Getting people to understand what you want insofar as bureaucrats are concerned is a very great problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now listen again.
Alan, you've not only traveled widely, but you now live abroad. What problems are there for somebody who wants to go and live and work in a foreign country?
Work permits are usually a problem. In every country I've been in, they've been a problem. Residence visas are a problem. Getting people to understand what you want insofar as bureaucrats are concerned is a very great problem.
Mm-hmm.
Question number three. What problems would you have if you want to live and work in a foreign country?
Number four.
However, the first time is the worst, and after that you begin to realize the way these people think and act. And in fact, they're not so troublesome as at first you think they are. In fact, they're trying to help you, but perhaps in a rather an obscure and oblique way.
Now listen again.
However, the first time is the worst, and after that you begin to realize the way these people think and act. And in fact, they're not so so troublesome as at first you think they are. In fact, they're trying to help you, but perhaps in a rather an obscure and oblique way.
Question number 4. After Alan has settled down in a new place for some time, what does he think of the people who seem to him so troublesome at first?
Part B. Listen and relax.
Directions. Listen to the following tongue twisters and say them after the recording as quickly and correctly as possible.
1. Can you sing the song Sam sang yesterday?
2. A quite hungry cat waited quietly for a mouse in a quite quiet house.
3. Can an active actor always actually act accurately?
4. There's no need to light a nightlight on a light night like tonight.
5. If she stops at the shop where I stop, and if she shops at the shop where I shop, then I shan't stop to shop at the shop where she stops to shop. Part C. Further listening.
Directions. You are going to hear a short passage once. Listen carefully and choose the best answer to each question you hear.
Today, American parents are finding themselves in a dilemma about how to deal with teenage drinking, a serious social problem. A recent survey has revealed that 92% of high school seniors have tried alcohol at least once, and 2/3 take a drink once a month. Alcohol has resulted in a lot of teenage car crashes, as well as suicides and murders. Parents are wondering why they can't keep their children from drinking. Now many are beginning to conclude that it is not the kids, but the parents who should be held responsible for their permissive attitudes. Some parents find that stern attitudes and methods are impractical and ineffective. They try to teach their children to drink responsibly and moderately. Many parents believe that supervised drinking is a safe solution. However, an increasing number of parents fear that this will endanger their children's safety. Therefore, hardliners are striving to form a united front to lay down common rules to be strictly enforced. And the most popular method in some communities is what they call safe homes, where unsupervised parties with alcohol are forbidden. The hardliners think that in this way, their children will learn self-control. But experts and educators fear that such attitudes might invite outright rebellion from the children. Both sides agree that teenage drinking can be dealt with if no excessive drinking attitudes are established early and supported by school authorities.
Question number 1. Why is teenage drinking said to be a serious problem according to the passage? Question number 2. Who should be held responsible for teenage drinking according to the passage? Question number 3. Which of the following measures by parents is not mentioned? Question number 4. What is a safe home? Question number 5. How can teenage drinking be fundamentally solved according to experts and educators?
This is the end of Lesson 10.